live from Portland, Rick Emerson. He's back only on Hot Talk 1080 KOTK.
I don't know what it is that we come in here every... You know, the thing is, on Monday, if it was just dirty, that would be one thing. But it's not so much that as it's this weird... I don't know, it's this weird aromatic cornucopia of scents. You know, because... I mean, I don't know who all is in here. I mean, I got a fair idea of the people that are in here. But I mean... But it's like there's this stench of corn dogs and grease and a thin film of human sweat over everything. It's like we're in here for 5 solid days and we keep this place pretty clean. Weekenders come in here and it's like... It's like some Pompeii of garbage.
I don't know what you're doing.
Well, not even. What are we doing? 3 minutes, 30 seconds after the hour 12 in this the month of January, the year of our Lord, 2004. Thank you. And draw near. It's the, boy, that's going to be with us for a long time. Here's the thing about the voice of tomorrow. It's one of those things you just start doing and you can't stop. It's just everywhere. We'll talk more about it later, but because I'm just shameless, because I have no shame at all. See, other people, that's the difference between this show and other shows. This show, Nya, and other shows. That other shows have shame and things that they, like limits that they, lines that they draw, past which they will not go to get a laugh. Not me. I have no shame. I'm not proud. Whatever it takes to make people, you know, giggle, I'll do it. Up to and including the use of funny voices for no really apparent reason. The thing about that one, though, is once you just start doing it, you get stuck in it. Once you start talking about science and technology, that you see right there, man.
And a certain city.
And, yeah, which we can't name yet. What am I doing? Whatever. It's the Rick Emerson Show. Thank you for being here with us. It even makes me laugh, and I'm the one doing it. Where is Sarah Dillon, F. Matt Peterson, Tim Riley in the KFTK newsroom? We got a whole bunch of stuff, a whole passel of things coming up today, including, but not limited to, we have a penis watch coming up today. Or as Mr. Garrison would say, a penis watch. Jackson watch coming up, Bush watch. We've got news about a rock star who had a sex change. We've got news about a rock star who's a child molester. Not the same rock star, by the way. And a lesbian auctioning off her virginity to a lucky man. So, see, that's what, right, see, anybody can talk about, you know, whatever, the economy, things that, quote, matter, that make a difference, not us. No, sir. No, it's just having sex with lesbians and rock stars who change their sex. That's what we're all about. That's, and funny voices, that's us. If you want to get on board, and why wouldn't you, with this stunning pedigree? It's 503-250-1080 in Portland, 503-250-1080 in Portland, or 1-800-727-5955. We also got CNN radio correspondent Jim Roop going to talk about the Golden Globes, and Bisney going to give us a heads up on the New Hampshire primary, where Joe Lieberman will once again be beaten senseless like a bad sack of manure. It's all coming up, 503-250-1080 in Portland, or 1-800-727-5955. We're moments away from Tim Riley in the KOTK newsroom. It's Hot Talk 1080 KOTK.
Time for Rick Emerson, it must be new. How did 21 hours tick away so soon? Turn off the TV, hands off my radio, damn it. I gotta hear Rick's thesis on what's wrong with the planet. I'm stuck on I-5, and better get used to chilling, cause it's all backed up, but I got the traffic in Serenhillin. I'm mad about the traffic, and just because of that, I'ma call up the show and sponsor an F-Mat. Clyde Lewis is the man, and don't forget that. I don't know what he does, but his name sounds fat. Jody from the front desk is unstoppable. Find out how chicks think? Yo, that's impossible. I better come up with a gig like a threesome I never did. Then Rick will get my song and play it for all the kids. But if not, you never know that this record was ever made. He's the radio gangster and he's got to get paid. Cause he's the radio gangster.
Yeah.
And he's not counting at the radio gangster. Yeah. And he's not counting at the radio gangster. Yeah.
And now, it's not just news, it's news with Tim Riley, live from the newsroom of Hot Talk 1080 KOTK.
Carrier's lead shrinks to 3 points in New Hampshire. Don Carey holds a shrinking 3-point lead over Howard Dean on the eve of the New Hampshire primary. Carey led Dean 31% to 28% in the new poll, with John Edwards jumping 3 points. And then we have, at the very bottom, Senator Joe Lieberman at 9%. Joe knows that the Republicans are shaking in their boots at the prospect of his victory.
They can't say that I'm weak on values. Obviously, I'm not. They can't say I'm weak on defense. I'm not. They can't say I'm a big taxer and spender. I'm not. So I believe
they don't even know who you are.
I have the loudest voice. I've taken the firmest, toughest positions in this campaign, and that's what America needs.
They're not even. You know what he is? He's like that one guy. It's like you ever go. You all know. Well, maybe some. 3% of you know. You voted. You go and you look at the ballot, and then there's Republican, Democrat, and Socialist, and Green Party, and then there's like the wobbly party and the Whig party and everything at the bottom. Like those guys you never even heard of before. The only Joe Lieberman really is just he's sort of the public access. He's like the cable access candidate. You know, he's just one step above. You know, that Jim Spag guy, like on the public consciousness level.
Joe comments on Michael Moore's comment that Bush was a deserter.
I thought Michael Moore's statement was over the edge. Right. Lord knows I've said a lot of critical things about
Thank
George W.
Much.
Bush.
Thank
about
you.
The policies, about his failure to get the economy going. 3 million lost jobs, 43 million people without health insurance, a lot more can't do anything to afford it, and he hasn't done anything for them. But to call him a deserter, it's just wrong. It's wrong on the facts. And it's wrong on the kind of political debate we should have in a campaign.
Yes, it's wrong if you don't know how to read, I suppose.
Wrong. Yeah. Meanwhile, Ted Kennedy answers criticism that he showed disdain during the President's State of the Union address.
I take the State of the Union seriously, and I respect the presidency. But I'm not going to jump up and down for a misguided, mistaken, misleading policy.
I don't think Ted Kennedy's capable of jumping up and down. His ankles
are just... Maybe he's a blonde bathing suit walking by.
His ankles are just snapped like bad twigs at this point. It's like a ham mounted up on two little toothpicks. That's what Ted Kennedy is. It's just a canned ham on some toothpicks. That's all, man. Those things are going to give out soon.
Howard Dean speaks to Wolf Blitzer while playing that soundbite over and over and over again.
News media does what the news media does. They're an entertainment business, at least as much as the news media.
It's not that we're in the business of reporting the news and providing information.
I think you report the news, you create the news, and that's what you guys do, and that's fine.
We didn't create your concession speech. You did that.
Well, but you chose to play it 673 times in 1 week. That is your privilege. If I'm going to run for president, I have to stand up to that. Whatever you guys throw at me, I have to be willing to take. Because if you want to be president of the United States, you had better be willing to take whatever the news media throws at you. And I'm very willing to take it, and I make no apologies.
Now, that guy's going to be entertaining, though. That's the reason you should vote for Dean, is because that guy's going to give us at least 4 years of fantastic fodder for this radio program.
Meanwhile, last February, Morton Spurlock decided to be a gastronomical guinea pig. His mission, to eat 3 meals a day for 30 days at McDonald's, and document the impact of his health. Scores of cheeseburgers, hundreds of fries, and dozens of chocolate shakes later, the formerly strapping 6'2" New Yorker, who started out at a healthy 185 pounds, packed on 25 pounds. But his supersized shape was the least of his problems. Within a few days after beginning his drive-through diet, Spurlock, who's 33, was vomiting out the window of his car. And doctors who examined him were shocked at how rapidly his entire body deteriorated. I was really crazy. My body basically fell over and apart in the course of 30 days. Now, his liver became toxic. His cholesterol shot from 165 to 230. His libido flagged, and he suffered headaches and depression. Spurlock charted his journey from Fit to Flab in a tongue-in-cheek documentary, which he has taken to the Sundance Film Festival with the hope of getting a distribution deal. Supersize Me explores the obesity epidemic that plagues America today, a sort of Bowling for Columbine for fast food.
Excellent. Well done.
Sounds like fun, doesn't it? Time for the Bush Watch.
Here's your Bush Watch for Monday.
Kind of in charge, he's got the whole country saying,
that's my Bush.
Life is hard, that's the price of fame when you're president.
Everyone knows your name.
Hey, what's that thing? It's my Bush. I can't believe he's actually in the White House. That's our realm. That's my Bush.
So our Bush Watch
watch it is in two parts. First, David Kaye, who was in charge of looking for WMDs in Iraq, has quit saying there aren't any. But he's not blaming the president. He's kind of blaming bad intelligence given to the president.
I actually think the intelligence community owes the president rather than the president owing the American people. We have to remember that this view of Iraq was held during the Clinton administration and didn't change in the Bush administration. It is not a political gotcha issue. It is a serious issue of how you could come to the conclusion that is not matched by the future.
And Bushwatch Part 2. This is the tale of two Scots, one American, the other Canadian. One is dark hair, the other blonde. Both are 35 and both work for the most powerful men in their respective countries. Scott McClellan is the press secretary for President George Bush. Scott Reed is the senior strategist for Prime Minister Paul Martin of Canada. But according to Mr. Bush, Mr. Martin is prettier than Mr. Scott. Here's what happened. Mr. Bush wanders over to Mr. Reed and chats with him as he's speaking with the Prime Minister. This is when they're in Mexico. Mr. Reed introduced himself and shakes hands with Mr. Bush. The president chuckles. You got yourself a pretty face, he told the surprised Mr. Reed. But he wasn't done. You got a pretty face, he said again. You're a good-looking boy, better-looking than my Scott anyway. For the first time in his life, Mr. Reed had no reply. I didn't know what to say, said Mr. Reed, noting later that he wished that Mr. Bush had referred to him as a rugged-looking young man or something. But I'll take what I can get, he joked. When a Texas Republican says you got a pretty face, then I guess there's just no way around it.
That's what you want. You want some backwater hick telling you you've got a pretty face. That's going to end
you
well for you.
You've got a pretty mouth.
That's your Bush watch for
he's
Monday.
He's the president, resident, he's kind of in charge. He's got the whole country saying, that's my bird.
Have you ever had a visqueen party? Here's Tim Riley in the KTK Newsroom.
Meanwhile, 20 organizations and 60 individuals have signed a letter objecting to the way protesters were treated at Vice President Cheney's fundraiser this past month here in the PDX. It alleges that the conditions imposed by Portland police, which are happening all over the country, by the way, unnecessarily increased the antagonisms and tension at the event. Protesters were separated from police by an 8-foot-tall wall of chain-link fence topped with barbed wire. The fence, protesters say, created an image that they were criminals. When the protesters shook the fence, they were threatened with the use of chemical weapons. Other objections include the area designated for the protesters was a muddy field outside the embassy suite, which is not wheelchair accessible.
I didn't even know we had protests. When was that?
That was when Cheney was here.
Oh, I wasn't even aware of that. I didn't even cover it.
They had him in a little prison area.
in a little veal fattening pen just right up to the side.
Anyway, what else do we have? Oh, listen to this. The winner of this week's Who's Your Millionaire game show, how would you like that, died after being hit by a pickup truck just hours after the show's taping. 73-year-old Carl D. Atwood won $57,000 on Thursday during a taping of the Who's Your Millionaire game show in Indianapolis. After the two-hour taping, which will air tonight, he returned to his hometown with a check. About 7 o'clock, he was crossing Main Street a block from his home on the way to the grocery store where he bought the ticket in the first place. When the black pickup truck rounded the corner and struck him, he was at the scene.
That's what's going to happen to me. See, that's how the God of Irony will take me out. I win the lottery, and then the Hubble will come down and go right into my skull.
Here's Johnny Carson. Remember him, the former late-night icon who retired from his nightly gig with NBC Hollywood? He pulled his own plug, actually, many years, 11 years ago, to be a matter of fact.
It was 91, wasn't it? What year did Carson go off? Did anybody? Because I remember watching it. I think it was 91, because I remember, wait, no.
92.
92.
Must have been 92, because I remember, because I was sitting in the control room of Rock 106 in Spokane, Washington. When I was doing that, I remember he came out and he sat on the stool because he did two farewell shows. Time marches on. It's a decade ago, and you got a whole generation of people. I mean, I'm not just talking about the kids again, but I mean, there's a whole generation of people that grew up never. Sarah, you probably never watched Johnny Carson.
Never.
Oh.
Or Gilligan's Island.
No, and I'm not. The Gilligan's Island thing is inexcusable. That just doesn't make any goddamn sense at all that you would never watch Gilligan's Island. Like, you really have to go out of your way not to watch Gilligan's Island. It's like never watching MASH. You have to. That's the thing where you have to be, like, blindfolded when you go into a room where a TV's on, because the odds are, like, 1 in 5 the Gilligan's Island's going to be on.
No, my dad would always watch, like, reruns of MASH on the news. That's always what was on.
Well, that's what dads watch. That's what dads do. Dads eat fish sticks off a TV tray, and they watch MASH, they watch the news, they watch Hee Haw, and they watch, you know, like, tractor pulls and stuff, and the Weather Channel, and that's it. But Carson, it's like, they don't even do reruns of that anymore, do they?
Oh.
Because they used to do, like, a condensed version, like that 22-minute version where it was just his skits and whatnot. But there's nowhere to... Man, I don't know why they don't do that. I don't know why Bravo or somebody hasn't picked up on that. Reruns of The Tonight Show from back in the day, I would completely watch that. Because, see, the problem is we're going to have... Because Johnny Carson was... And I won't go on and on about this. Because it's like if you were there... And I don't mean to be exclusionary about it. Like if it's... Like somehow my generation is better than Sarah's because we had Carson. I'm just saying it is... It's just a fact that he was there before he's not now. And so Carson was... You know, that... I mean, there's just nobody who casts a longer shadow in television. I mean, especially for this generation, nobody. But because his influence, you know, is just so far and broad and wide, you know, because he's been off the air for 10 years, now you're now going to have this whole generation. It's like counting the rings on a tree. You know, you look at a tree and you can, you know, you look back and you see, well, there was a fire this year and there was whatever. There was a strong windstorm this year. Well, you look at comics and new entertainers that come up and you can see what their influences were just by looking at what they do. And so we're going to start getting people coming up who'd never seen Carson. And that really is, it's weird. Not only is it weird to think, this is just me wallowing and being old. Let's just call it what it is. But not only is it weird to think that there's going to be a whole generation of entertainers coming up who've never seen Johnny Carson. It's weird to wonder exactly who it is they are modeling themselves. When are you going to model yourself on? Carson Daly? I mean, who is there to...
Letterman.
I suppose. But it's not the same thing. It's not the same thing at all, because Letterman, much as I love Letterman, he's just not... I don't know, he's just not Carson. Letterman may be the first one to admit that. I have no idea who young entertainers coming up are really modeling themselves on. I can't even imagine. Maybe Jon Stewart or somebody. I don't know.
Anyway, this woman did a report on the condition of Johnny Carson. Although emphysema has slowed Carson down, he does not use an oxygen tank. As a matter of fact, Carson is still playing tennis. It also reports that Carson is still married to his wife, Alexis, regularly attends his poker game with Hollywood pals Carl Reiner, Neil Salmon, and Chevy Chase.
Excellent. We're going to do this. We'll come back. We got more, including CNN-ready correspondent Jim Roop. Also got a Jackson watch on the way, penis watch, rockstar sex change news, rockstar pedophilia news, and lesbians auctioning off their virginity. And I'm not making any of that up. That's the best part. We'll be back. It's 503-250-1080 in Portland. Stay there. We'll be back.
Live from Portland, only on Hot Talk 1080 KOTK.
All right, it was pointed out to me that we start every single traffic with the words "all right" or "well." So I'm gonna
I'm trying to break the "all right."
I'm not gonna do it anymore. From now on, I'll say "hey now," "no," "boy howdy," or something. I don't know. Here's a
sir. Say "Cosmopolis."
No, you gotta wait for it. You gotta wait. If I do it now, then then you got no motive to stick around. All right, Sarah, the traffic.
Got an opinion? Pick up the phone and call. Lines are open at 503-250-1080 or 1-800-727-5955. Rick Emerson on Hot Talk 1080 KOTK.
All right, 503-250-1080 in Portland or 1-800-727-5955. Did we miss the black peppercorns?
Yeah, it was last night. I know, I wanted
damn
to
me
go.
To hell.
I was lazy.
Completely forgot about it. I just ended up sitting on my ass doing nothing. I went to see School of Rock. That's the only thing I did. That's the only interesting thing I did all weekend. I left the house. I left the house for 2 hours to see Jack Black flail around on stage surrounded by school children. It's 503-250-1080 in Portland or 1-800-727-5955. And it's interesting to know, by the way, that you can chart how I'm slipping farther and farther behind in current pop culture movie knowledge as my DVD collection gets larger and larger. You know what I mean? Because it's like, yeah, never mind. No one cares. Let's talk to Christy. You're on Hot Talk tonight at KTK. What's up?
Hi there.
What do you got?
Hey, my husband, Car Stereo Joe, called in a few months ago.
Yes.
After our house got broken into and they stole the shampoo.
Yeah, it was like they just stole a bunch of weird stuff, though, right? It was like a bunch of, I don't know what else they stole, but the big thing was they stole your, like, some of your toiletries, which is creepy.
Yeah, that was the creepy part. But they got some good stuff. They got, you know, wedding presents and all our DVDs.
But like, but at some point, he also decided to go in and take like your Breck, right?
Well, yeah. Why go to Safeway when you can go to my house?
Seriously. So, well, what happened?
Well, they caught the guy. But the best way is how they caught the guy. And when they caught him, I was like, we have to call Rick because he'll love this.
Yeah. So they caught the guy. Okay. So how was he apprehended? What, did he steal somebody else's shampoo?
Yeah. They went and smelled out the salon selectives on his head.
Yeah. Yeah.
No, actually, he'd done like 17 robberies in our neighborhood.
Uh huh.
And the guy was getting paranoid, so he thought, I'll throw the cops off. I'll break into my own house.
I'll rob myself.
Exactly.
Oh,
so the cops come out. They print him, of course, to rule out his fingerprints at
sure.
his house.
And then they discover, hey, wait a minute. This matches 17 other houses. Goddamn, people are stupid. I mean, that's the thing. It is tempting to think at some point that we almost don't even need a police force. That you just sit back, and these guys are all so friggin' dense that they will eventually all just be hoisted by their own petard. You know what I mean?
Absolutely.
It doesn't even. Well, I'm glad that did you get any of your stuff back?
No, it's all gone.
No, you know, sold it for shampoo money, undoubtedly.
Absolutely.
Did you bother to? Did they ever find out why the guy took your shampoo?
No, he's an idiot.
Yeah.
And so is his girlfriend.
Oh.
He said that everything he brought home was presents from his boss.
I see. All right. And so he's bringing things for his wife, too. So it's the raising Arizona syndrome, you know, and I'll also take some diapers. Yeah. Well, I'm glad they caught him anyway. So
absolutely.
All right. Excellent. There you go. That's Christy. Yeah, how weird. Guy comes in and takes your shampoo. Let's welcome now to the Rick Emerson Show. A man in Los Angeles, CNN radio correspondent, Jim Roop. What's up, brother?
Hey, sir. How are you?
I'm doing okay, my friend. You know why? Because I didn't get stuck sitting on my reporter ass at the Golden Globes last night. The Golden Globes, and there was a big... Here's the thing about the Golden Globes, is that we'll talk about it a little bit, but it's like no one in America really cares all that much, and yet all the news stories, all the news channels on Friday... We're all doing this big so-called expose. Like MSNBC, CNBC, and CNN at one point, we're all doing a big expose about the Golden Globes and who really votes and who doesn't. And it's all, you know, just a bunch of handful of, like, no-name reporters that votes on the whole thing or whatever.
Yeah, European and, I mean, just foreign journalists.
Thinking that someone cares. When
can you imagine being in that room?
No one, no.
Wow, that must really smell.
When, of course, no one cares. These awards exist pretty much just to give us red carpet footage of Scarlett Johansson's cleavage out front. That's kind of the only reason, which was looking fine.
Let me tell you, it was a breast fest on the red carpet last night.
Excellent. Do tell.
Good golly! I mean, everybody had those gowns that just opened up. You know, it was Cleavageville.
Who would you say was leading the pack breast wise?
The heck's her name? She was in Angels in America.
Oh, it's not Salma Hayek.
No. Parker's her last name. Come on,
Sarah Jessica Parker?
No.
Mary Louise Parker?
Yeah, that's the one.
Ah, love me some Mary Louise
Parker.
Yeah,
and you know what? She even attributed those to her newborn son.
Yeah, well, that's the rare benefit of being pregnant, I think. Here's the thing about about Mary Louise Parker. We were talking about her the other day. Billy Crudup, who was in Almost Famous, and he's in Big Fish. He was apparently they were married or dating. Were they married or dating, Sarah?
I think they were just dating.
Dating. So Billy Crudup and Mary Louise Parker were dating, and then he dumped her for Claire Danes, which doesn't make any sense, because Mary Louise Parker's all hot. I mean, she's completely hot.
When she was 8.5 months pregnant.
Yeah, you know, you can't dump your wife when she's 8.5 pregnant. Even I wouldn't do that, and I'm a terrible person.
Well, if he was there last night, or even if he watched on television, he's going, ooh, I made a mistake.
Yeah, screw that guy. She's single. She's available for some hot Rick love.
Yeah.
And she won, right? She won.
She won
for Angels in America.
Yes, she did. Best Supporting Actress.
Yeah.
She's on a roll for sure.
Yeah, because she's also. I don't know if she's still on The West Wing, but she did a whole couple years where she had a recurring role in The West Wing, and so she's. And then she was in the hell did I just see the other day that she was in? I don't know. I forget. I don't pay attention.
Fried Green Tomatoes.
Is she in that?
Mary Louise Parker.
I've forgotten all about that. What does she play?
Yeah, she's one like the main character in that movie.
I haven't seen that for like.
Is she old enough to have a role in that one?
Yeah, because that was like 10 years ago, something like that.
She must have been 10.
That was one of the first... Fried Green Tomatoes is the very first thing that my girlfriend ever made me watch. It was the very first... And because I avoided it, because I have a penis, you know, and so I don't know. But then she looked me in there and she goes, look, it's about cannibals and lesbians, all right? And I was like, all right, I'm in! You know, and then I watch it.
Maybe I'll watch it now.
Dude, I'm no lie. It's about lesbians and cannibalism. So if they had marketed it that way, that movie would have done better because guys would have gone to see it. And anyway, yeah, but she was really young in that. Renee Zellweger, now there's some cleavage.
You know what? She looks better because she's last year at the Oscars. She was very thin.
Yeah.
And she gained a little more weight, I guess, because it was the Bridget Jones Diary
she
movie
put it,
between then. She put some weight on. She looks better with a little beef on her.
That's what. Okay. Can we please, for once, in the name of sweet God, can we have women all stop whatever you're doing? Every woman, just stop and listen to what my man Jim is saying here. You know, this is what every guy says, right?
Curves.
That's what I'm saying. That yeah. Renee Zellweger as a stick is you know, we're very
is
thin,
stick.
Is much less attractive than what she looks like right now when she
Absolutely.
Gained a little weight. See, that's what I'm saying. People think it's just me. It is not just me.
In fact, what was real nice was when her name was called to get her Supporting Actress Award for Cold Mountain, she was still chewing her beef walking up the steps.
Yeah.
I like a woman who eats, even on her way to get a major award.
That's what I'm saying. Well, they showed, it was on the cover of, you know, The Star or something a few weeks ago, they were talking about, but you know, whatever, women who put on weight for roles. And they had a picture of Lara Flynn Boyle, you know, who just, you know, just, you know, you might as well, you know, it's just like humping a branch, I think. And then they had Renee Zellweger, and Renee Zellweger, man, I mean, that's miles of velvety soft love is what that is, you know? So, all right, this whole thing, we haven't even talked about it, it's just been an excuse to talk about boobs, but that's okay with me.
I'm sorry, I started it.
No, well, let's see who else here, boobs, Charlize Theron.
Very nice.
Yeah.
She destroyed herself, too, for that role she did in Monster, but she bounced back nicely. Of course, I guess she has all the money to pay personal trainers and everybody else, but... Plus, she's young.
It's true. And, you know, the thing about her is she is just... Charlie, I understand why she did this, though, because she is so attractive that it's almost hard to take her seriously.
Yeah.
You know, because she's just... I remember the first time I saw her was in That Thing You Do, and then I saw... And then she was in...
She did that thing with Keanu Reeves and Al Pacino.
The Devil's Advocate.
Devil's Advocate.
Yeah.
And then
she was
in Curse of the Jade Scorpion, and it's like she's just like a living doll. It's just so hard to take her seriously sometimes.
And I'm telling you something, man. You see her in person, and when she walks by, you actually gasp.
You just because
oh, you just go, oh, man.
Because she's so. Because a lot of those women, you see them up close, and you get them in a good light, you know, and you don't want to.
And
wanna,
they look at you, and you just feel inadequate.
Hey, real quickly, I know The Office won a couple things.
Yeah, that was a big surprise for many reasons. First of all, it's a BBC America offering that no one really sees. But then again, we're talking about the Hollywood Foreign Press now voting on it.
It is. I got to tell you, though, man, The Office
it's
is
the best thing
it is,
out there.
It is the best thing on television. Arrested Development comes close, but I got to tell you, The Office is flat-out freaking brilliant. It is genius.
And can I tell you how happy I was not to hear Matt LeBlanc or Bernie Mac or Eric McCormick or Tony Shalhoub picking up an award? It was great to hear a different name.
Some same, you know, the same schmuck from Everybody Loves Raymond that wins everything all the time. You know what it is? Those sitcom awards are like, you know what it is? It's like NASCAR. You know, it's just the same three goddamn rednecks that win every year, you know? It's like every time they do some NASCAR thing, it's like the same last names every year. So it was good to see, you know, that somebody from Frasier for once didn't win everything. So.
Oh, yeah, that was, and it's nice that Martin Sheen didn't win for West Wing. Anthony LaPaglia won for Without a Trace.
I'm talking about.
It's just great stuff. And then you take a look at the movie side. And on the movie side, the big surprise was Bill Murray. Beating out Jack Nicholson, Billy Bob Thornton, and Johnny Depp, and Jack Black. He was in the category, too. But Bill Murray gets Best Actor in a Musical or Comedy for Lost in Translation, and that movie gets the award for Best Comedy Motion Picture. So another great surprise there. It was good to see Bill Murray win something.
Probably
the first NSL alumni to win something.
It's about time, though. I mean, that's, you know, they talk about that guy as maybe winning an Oscar, too. So, I mean, it's about time that he wins something. I mean, the guy's been criminally... Oh, the fact that Bill Murray has never won an Oscar before is just, I mean, it's a travesty. It makes me ashamed to be an American.
You know, I liked him in Meatballs. I liked him in Groundhog Day.
Yeah, Groundhog Day is on this week on Showtime.
You gotta love him in Caddyshack.
You gotta love him in everything. Everything that guy has ever done.
Oh, absolutely.
So, all right, excellent. And you got the Oscar nomination.
Oscar nomination.
Tomorrow,
another early day tomorrow.
Yeah. So have fun with that.
Woo.
Yeah. All right. There you go. There's that sums it all up. It's a senior radio correspondent, Jim Roop. Yeah, the fact that Bill Murray didn't win for like even Ed Wood, you know, where he does, you know, he's just kind of the small supporting roles. Here's Tim Riley.
So here is Ricky Gervais accepting the Golden Globe Award last night for The Office.
I can't remember. They told me to thank people. I said, we're not going to win anyway. What?
Hollywood Foreign Press.
And Bill Murray wins the Best Actor Award for Lost in Translation.
You can all relax. I fired my agents a couple of months ago.
my trainer, my physical trainer, killed himself. And I would thank the people at Universal and Focus, except there's so many people trying to take credit for this, I wouldn't know where to begin.
And Charlize Theron won Best Dramatic Actress for playing serial killer Eileen Wuornos in Munster.
This is so crazy. I'm from a farm in South Africa. This is insane.
Jim Carrey gets a little carried away while announcing Best Comedy Film.
And the winner is Elf. Oh, I'm sorry. That wasn't nominated this year. Lost in Translation.
Just read the goddamn winner and get off the stage. I had this revelation about Jim Carrey last night, by the way, because we went to School of Rock, which was good. I don't think I loved it quite as much as everybody else, but it was good, you know. And the great thing about School of Rock is that Jack Black is a true believer. When he does all that, has everybody seen School of Rock? Yeah, when he does that stuff, you can tell that he really feels it, you know, that's coming from a place of true love. And I was reflecting on how bad that movie would have been had it been Jim Carrey. You know, because it would have just been an excuse for Jim Carrey to mug for the camera, make funny faces, and screech a lot. You know, but the whole reason that movie works, because it's everything I detest. It's school children learning a lesson, and it's, you know... And Joan Cusack was terrible, which is, you know, heartbreaking. But the whole reason it works is because Jack Black is, man, because it comes from inside that guy. So, I think he ought to just be cast in all Jim Carrey movies from now. We'll be back. We got more on the way, including CNN radio correspondent John Visney. Sex change with rock stars, rock star pedophile, Jackson Watch. It's all on the way. Dude.
From Portland, it's Rick Emerson, only on Hot Talk 1080 KOTK.
The stunning package. Judy Woodruff and Joe Lieberman walking together. Boy, yeah. They just radiate charisma, don't they?
You know, screw Jim Carrey. I really liked Elf. I thought that was a funny movie.
I never saw it. I got this whole thing about Will Ferrell.
I have much love for Will Ferrell.
Yeah. I'll see it at some point. Because didn't it have, there was somebody in Elf that I liked.
That you really like. I can't remember her name. Zoe?
Zoe Deschanel?
Yeah, the one from
Almost Famous?
Yeah.
All right. Yeah, I'll see it. I'll see it when it shows up on my television. Sarah with the traffic.
Nope. Got an opinion? Pick up the phone and call. The lines are open at 503-250-1080 or toll-free 1-800-727-5955. Rick Emerson on Hot Talk 1080 KOTK.
The thing about The Office, this is the last thing I'll say about it, is the thing about The Office is that it's so good that it should make American TV creators ashamed. You know what I mean? If you're some dick that works on Friends or something, I mean, you should, you know, they should put you in a room and make you watch The Office, and then you should just go kill yourself. You know what I mean? You should write a long letter to the New York Times, an open letter apologizing to America, you know, for the dreck that you filled the airwaves with, and then you should go cut your own head off. You know, you've seen it. The Office?
Yes.
It's genius. All right, here's Tim Riley in the KOTK Newsroom.
Time for the Jackson Watch.
Here's your Jackson Watch from Monday. And I've been calling this one for the longest time. I predicted this.
Did he kill himself?
No. Clearly. No. But I like the hopeful tone in your voice. All right.
From Britain's News of the World, which is a legitimate newspaper, Britain's biggest selling Sunday newspaper, Jackson is not their father. Michael Jackson's claim that he is the natural father of his two children born to ex-wife Debbie Rowe is a lie. Debbie was artificially inseminated by anonymously donated sperm to give birth to son Prince Michael Jr. and daughter Paris. The bombshell fact revealed by Debbie in a legal dossier could be her strongest weapon in her bid to wrestle control over kids from the 45-year-old Jackson. News of the World has learned the secrets of the documents drawn up by Debbie, seen with Jackson, as she prepares a temporary exclusive custody battle for her children. Jackson hid the truth about the paternity of the children, ages 5 and 6, when he was grilled about their light complexion features by that ITV documentary. The star insisted he was their true biological father.
But I knew, man, he hit it badly because I knew forever that he wasn't. We all knew he wasn't the kid's parent. Didn't we all know that?
Yes.
I mean, it was just a given.
Jackson and Debbie did enter in a surrogacy agreement on January 23rd, 1996. The deal made their marriage ceremony 9 months later a total sham, aimed at only securing his parental rights. Michael was so obsessed with controlling the creation of each child, he imposed a six-month sex ban on Debbie before insemination. In return for bearing Michael two children, Debbie also received a staggering £6 million, and that's about $9 million payoff.
And the whole thing is that she obviously sees that, because here's what's going to happen, is that Jackson's going to go to trial, and he's going to call in some of his cronies to smuggle his kids out of the country. The kids are going to end up at a chateau in Paris. She's never going to see them again, which probably doesn't bother, because she's obviously a freak. You know, because no one just acts as an incubator for Michael Jackson, unless you've got something seriously wrong with you. I mean, I don't care I don't care how much money it is. No one does that unless you get a little cracked to begin with. But she doesn't want Jackson to get the kids out of the country because she sees this, when he's being accused of being a pedophile, as his, her best chance to get the kids, and then she can use those kids to fund the rest of her life, man. It's like owning a four-headed turtle at the circus, you know? You can just finance the rest of your life on the backs of those kids.
So she gets around $50,000 a month, a Beverly Hills home, a car, clothes, purse, and jewels. And Michael also pays the monthly expenses.
All right, so there's your Jackson watch for Monday.
The drummer for heavy metal band Judas Priest reportedly wept in court as a guilty verdict was read out, convicting him of attempted rape of a special needs teen. 55-year-old David Holland had been giving drumming lessons to a 17-year-old boy between June and December 2002 at his home in England when the incidents occurred. According to the BBC, as the relationship between the teacher and pupil evolved, the teen started to occasionally spend the night at Holland's home. During the overnight stay, the former rocker allegedly allowed the boy to drink alcohol and smoke cigarettes. The parents of the teen finally caught wind of the assaults after they received a letter from their son, December 14, 2002, describing the abuse. The boy, who is now 18, cannot be named for legal reasons.
Dear Mom, had crumpets today, also had sex with drummer for Judas Priest. What does it say about you when you're the drummer for Judas Priest, but you have to seduce a retarded child? I mean, what is it? I mean, I know the Priest is really packing the arenas these days, but I mean, the thing is, who have you been turned down by when that's where you end up? You know, when you end up buggering a 17-year-old mentally handicapped drumming student of yours, who else have you tried? Who else has said no to you when you end up at that level?
Now we have Jethro Tull rock star David Palmer, who has become a woman named Dee. The 66-year-old keyboard player with a legendary 70 group proudly revealed yesterday he's had a sex change. With long blonde hair and makeup and black leggings, she said, "I want to be judged by my musical ability alone, nothing else." Speaking from the Spanish resort where she's recording her first solo album, Dee acknowledged that many fans will be shocked. She looks like a real security guard from downstairs now.
Yeah, it looked like one of my bus drivers that I had when I was going to Catholic school. What is it, man? Rock stars are all just so effed up, man. They're all... Because, strangely enough, this isn't even the first one we had that drummer from that band Rhino Bucket, which is not really a well-known band. There's this bad AC/DC type band. But the drummer became a chick. And then... Isn't there some guy from, not Rat. No, there's some guy from some other band that became a woman. And this doesn't make any sense. And now some... Yeah, he seriously looks like a lunch lady. Yeah.
All right. Well, fair enough. How about a penis watch?
Here's your penis watch.
Look at my enormous penis, and my troubles start a melting away.
Da, da,
I take a look at my enormous penis, and everything is going my way.
Ba-dum-bum.
A man who stuck a photo of his genitals to a hotel vending machine has been arrested in Arkansas. Curtis Leo Duchesne was arrested on a charge of indecent exposure after the photo was found at a Motel 6 in Van Buren. A police spokesman said the picture had his mobile phone number on it. An officer called Duchesne and arranged to meet the 40-year-old at the motel. Officers waited for Duchesne, but after he arrived in a car, he drove around and left. As he did, he was stopped by officers in an unrelated matter and surmised for having no insurance and no driving license. Duchesne called his date at the hotel to explain he wouldn't be able to meet because he'd been stopped by the police.
I won't be able to meet because I was photocopying my penis with my phone number and putting it up on vending machines everywhere.
The spokesman said he had no criminal intent other than meeting strangers, and it was just a lifestyle choice.
I mean, what is it? Is he expecting a woman to come up with a Fanta Orange? Schweppes Bitter Lemon? a guy's penis, just, you know, just to pick the... And this is another... The fault here... See, you can see where the thought process all falls apart. It's because this is another thing of men thinking that women think like men. Because that would totally... Like, Sarah... Like, if Sarah wanted to... Like, Sarah could just go photograph her boobs, you know, or, like, photocopy them, and then just put my phone, you know, 503-21, you know, and just put... It's like on a vending. You'd have... I mean, your phone would ring off the hook. It doesn't even matter, man. It's like you could just go photocopy your bum and just put it on, just stick it on, please call me, you know. It's, guys, all right, you know, and they just go home and whatever, man. It's like they call collective, they have to, you know. They pay it with pennies. It doesn't matter. It doesn't really work when you're a guy.
That's
it. There's penis your penis watch. All right, we'll do the, coming up, we got TV tonight. And CNN radio correspondent John Bissing at thoughts about the New Hampshire primary. What else? Something else coming up, but I forget what it is. As is my want. Lesbians shelling the virginity. We'll get to that as well. It's 503-250-1080 in Portland at 1-800-727-5955. Stay there, y'all. Back after this.
Only on Hot Talk 1080 KOTK.
From the KOTK newsroom, here's your Northwest update.
Good afternoon, T. Riley with you. It's brought to you by your friend in the diamond business, the Shane Company, on the western corner of Highway 217 and Shoals Prairie Road. Open Monday through Friday till 8, Saturday and Sunday till 5. We're online at shaneco.com. An early morning fire at an apartment building in Northeast has claimed the life of an elderly woman and injuring three others. The eight-story apartment building is in the Hollywood area of Northeast Halsey. Firefighters arrived this morning to see smoke and flame shooting out of the woman's window. Those three suffering smoke inhalation were treated at the scene. A former Evergreen School District teacher and coach has been sentenced to 4 years in prison on two counts of child molestation. 49-year-old Andrew Kohler pleading no contest to the counts. He said, "I never touched these kids inappropriately." He also said the two boys who made the accusations were troubled teens. He gave one boy a place to live when his parents would not. A murder trial has started in the rape and strangulation of a 14-year-old Portland girl, Layden Stevens, accused in the murder of 14-year-old Melissa Bittler. Portland Metro forecast for this afternoon, rated times, highs mid 40, same for tonight, lows about 40, same for tomorrow as well. Tim Riley, KOTK News.